Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Temperature has averaged about 80 degrees a day. We had a little drizzle yesterday, a little cloudiness, a little drizzle. But I feel bad for everybody back in Philadelphia as you've had rain all week and you're going to freeze your you-know-what's off today. It's cold. It's cold. But it's not cold here. As I sit in our broadcast booth it's called Spectrum Field here in Clearwater, Florida. So I sit in our broadcast booth as the sun rises. I tweeted out a picture as the sun was rising and shining over a well-groomed, can you say grass is well-groomed, well-kept, well-landscaped, whatever. I'm sitting here at the ballpark. But there are a lot of things, as there are on Saturdays, and I talked about some of them with when I'm on with Joe Giglio. 6-7 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Obviously, the Sixers are an issue. The Astros are a total, absolute, total disgrace. But the Phillies, there's a lot of things that haven't happened, but you kind of wonder. In the last couple of days, Matt Klentak spoke. I don't know that he really said anything that we say, oh, wow, something that enlightened us to the team, other than when a general manager or a team says, if we don't have injuries, well, yeah, that's the case with every team, if you don't have injuries. Although with the Yankees, they had the most players on the injured list last year of any team in the history of baseball, and they won 103 games. So really, that's kind of a lame excuse if your organization is strong from the major league level down to the minor league level. And I still, I basically dealt with it last year when I addressed it. They talk about these players, but they don't talk about a lot of players. They don't talk about the system that the Braves have. The Braves are loaded, 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 loaded. They don't talk about the system that the Washington Nationals have had. And obviously, they wouldn't have won a World Series if they didn't have a good system. They lost Bryce Harper. They're still going to be terrific. And they lost Rendon, who arguably could have been the MVP this year. I forget who was the MVP. I think it was Bellinger. But it could have been the MVP. They still have players that they can, and they'll get a third baseman to figure that out, but they have good young players, and every team has injuries. So Joe Girardi will join us at about 8:20 today, and we'll talk about a lot of things. Obviously, this team, the injuries of players that are coming back, David Robertson, they hold out hope, and the players should hold out hope that he can come back sometime this year, but that injury was an injury that normally is a year and a half. Andrew McCutchen, in some tweets he's Lawrence McCutchen, in some tweets he's Larry McCutchen, obviously being sarcastic. But I'm glad people had fun with my I just didn't think. For whatever reason, when the name McCutchen comes up, I think of the running back that was with the Rams in the 70s. I don't know why I do that. But they had a little fun, but that's all right. Thanks for the close to 250,000 views over some player just taking BP in the cage. I've never seen anything like it. They wanted to bust my chops. But we'll talk about McCutchen, who, now, I know different sports have different demands, but just thinking back to football, usually to come back at close to full strength, it takes a year and a half from the time that it happened with an ACL injury. Andrew McCutchen hasn't even been a year yet. So I'm going to kind of feed Joe Girardi, give him a little heads up, some truth serum on will he be ready for the start of the season. I don't think that's a gimme. I mean, he looks all right, although I don't see him driving the ball. I haven't seen him run. You know, he's in the outfield a little bit, running around, catching fly balls, but I haven't seen him run because the workouts don't consist of that, and I don't think they're having him go full speed. But it usually takes 18 months minimum to really come back to close to full strength. I know Pat Shurmur, former head coach of the Giants, and was the head coach when Sam Bradford, he was the head coach or the offensive coordinator when Sam Bradford came into the league, and he had an ACL injury. And he told me, and that's why people that got on Carson Wentz, he said it took him close to 2 years to get back to being close to full strength or full strength. So we'll deal with that today. We'll talk about that. Andy McPhail yesterday, he was beautiful. When some of the things, I love the way, and I'm being sarcastic when I say this, I love the way some Phillies executives, Kapler did it. I don't think Joe Girardi's going to do this. They go, you can make anything sound good with numbers. And when Andy McPhail yesterday said they're sixth in the league, their pitchers are sixth in the league in velo, velocity. He loves to use those terms. I don't care. Are they sixth in the league in quality of their pitchers? You can throw 100 miles an hour, but if you don't have good location, Major League Baseball players are pretty good these days with pitchers that throw hard because so many pitchers do throw hard. It doesn't make any difference. If the pitcher doesn't have good location, if he doesn't throw good pitches, like use Vince Velasquez for an example. He certainly can throw hard. I don't think he's going to touch 100, but he's going to get up there. He throws hard, but when your location is not good, it doesn't matter. I'm just so tired of listening to numbers. And you lean on those to make yourself or hope to make yourself sound good. It's ridiculous. Actually, Ed Pendino is my engineer here. Ed, they just raised the flag to full staff. I noticed the flag this morning, and it was sad, and I won't dwell on this. It was at half staff, and I couldn't imagine what for. Well, there was a state trooper shot when he pulled over to this down here, pulled over to the side of the road to help somebody, and the guy shot him and killed him. So, it's amazing. It's sad, but I guess it's been a few days and they put the flag back up to full staff. But just noticed that. That's why I said it. But the other thing that Andy McPhail said yesterday, and John Middleton, I think, was very clear with this. You know, when people ask, are you going to go over the luxury tax? Well, I think John Middleton was clear when he said, I'm not going to go over the luxury tax if we don't feel we have a chance to go, I don't think he said World Series, but to go deep into the playoffs. And right now, I don't think they have that team. When you look at this division, Atlanta's better, Washington's better. I'm not so sure the Mets aren't better. So do they have enough without a lot of supplies, I'll say supplies, in the minor leagues. Okay, Spencer Howard, we keep on hearing about that pitcher. He at some point will come up. But you can't count on a pitcher just to kind of turn things around. One pitcher, anyway. You can count on multiple pitchers. Yeah, they're hoping for improvement out of the bullpen. They re-signed Tommy Hunter. I have no clue why. I have no clue. I guess they didn't have to pay him that much money, and he's probably, maybe he's got bonuses in there. I don't know what the hell it is, but I am not a fan of Tommy Hunter. And I know he was hurt. You would think after an injury and you start getting up in age, you want to be in shape. Tommy Hunter didn't miss any cheeseburgers in the offseason. But pitchers get away with not being in shape. It just amazes me when you come back from that, just try something to get in a little bit of shape. I don't know how much stress it could put on your arm, but they will not go, and Andy McPhail said that yesterday, we're not going to go over the luxury tax just to be above 500, which they haven't been for a long time. And then he talked about the differences in the parts of the season. Well, and beginning of the season we're good, then this, and then a collapse. And so I don't care about different parts of the season. But anyway, if anybody has an idea, and we'll talk about what Joe Girardi has to say, but let me take one call before we take care of some business here. I believe Jeff's there. Jeff, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Al.
Hi.
Yo.
I'm here.
So, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Okay, cool, man. So, how come nobody believes in this guy, J.D. Hammer? I don't see anybody rocking this guy anytime he's out there. He throws hard, and, you know, like you said, a pitcher has to
have good
location.
Do you know he was outrighted? Do you know J.D. Hammer was outrighted, which means he'll be in the minor league? He's still in the clubhouse, but he's outrighted. Nobody will pick him up. And he'll go down in the minor leagues because he's not that good. That's why I don't believe in him, and that's why people don't believe in him.
But I've never seen him rock before. Anytime he's in the game, he gets guys out. Nobody rocks this guy. That's just what I've seen.
There's nothing memorable that I have seen with J.D. Hammer.
Well, it's like
of all the people, why is it J.D. Hammer?
Because, like I said, I've never seen the guy get rocked, and I've seen him in multiple times. I've seen other people get rocked and hit around, but not him. And Carlos Arano, before he got hurt, he looked spectacular before he got hurt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just going by the eye test, man.
Well, it's also, do they come in when they're either up by a lot of runs or down by a lot of runs? You know,
Arano was really good in relief, actually. When they were pushing and actually had a chance to do something.
Okay, you're talking about players that are so not a big part. I don't even know why when you started with J.D. Hammer, you lost me, Jeff. You lost me with J.D. Hammer.
All right. Well, are you going to be watching the All-Star game? Because last night the Rising Star game was really good. A lot of players that are going to make an impact in the league.
Well, I didn't watch 1 second of it. What was the score? 190 to 185?
No, that wasn't the score. But Trae Young kind of went off last night.
Trae Young goes off during the season. Trae Young goes off.
Player.
Yeah, but nobody plays defense in that game. And Trae Young is a terrific player. But I still think Dallas made the better trade getting Luka Doncic. One of the maybe four.
Just as far as the shooting aspect, the guy, you know, guys.
I get it. Hey, Jeff, I get it.
Okay.
But those games mean nothing to me because nobody plays defense. I don't know how Ben Simmons is going to play in that game because he won't shoot. If he doesn't get to the basket,
right.
They may let him
get
there.
We got Ben Simmons. What we got. But if you ain't watching the All-Star Dunks Contest and three-point shootout tonight, what are you going to be watching?
Okay, I love the three-point shooting contest. I do, because I remember the days of Larry Bird. He didn't even look at the basket and made him because he tried to get as many balls up as he could. Hey, thanks for the call, Jeff. I remember. I loved it back then. Now everybody can shoot. Everybody can shoot except the guy that plays for the 76ers. The three-point shooting contest, the dunk contest has become a circus. You know, guys jumping over cars. And it's phony baloney because Kia was a sponsor of the NBA. And it was Blake Griffin jumped over a Kia to dunk the ball. He was not the winner that year. He was not the winner. Andre Iguodala won 1 year, and he was not deemed a winner. I think it's too subjective. It's too based around different things other than the quality of the dunk. But there's nothing new with dunks. When Julius Erving jumped from the foul line to make a dunk, when Michael Jordan jumped from the foul line to make a dunk, that was different and spectacular. But all these things with guys wearing blindfolds and all this nonsense, the dunk contest, because everybody can dunk. Guys that are five, when you see somebody 5'6" dunk, then it's spectacular. All right, let me give you the numbers. 888-729-9494. Joe Girardi will join us shortly. He's in a meeting right now, but he'll join us shortly. If you have any questions that you'd like to have me ask Joe before he comes on, feel free. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, on the AT&T service that I know a lot of you, many of you use. Of course, you know I've been using it for well over 30 years. It's #9494. And on Verizon, #9494. I'm Howard Eskin here in Clearwater, Florida. Spring training. The veterans aren't due to report to tomorrow. There's only two not here. Bryce Harper, who I'm not worried about, probably be in tomorrow. And Juan Segura, who I am worried about. Or Gene Segura. Not Juan Segura. Gene Segura. Who I am worried about because he's going to play a different position. But Joe Girardi says he's not, but what's he going to say? 94 WIP, WIP Sports Time is now 8:16. 94 WIP, I'm Howard Eskin. We're here in Clearwater, Florida. And we're joined by the manager of the Phillies, who has had a honeymoon thus far. And I want to congratulate you, Joe.
Thank you.
You're undefeated thus far.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I am. I told my daughter that last night. Still undefeated, baby.
I know. You're going to be undefeated for a while. Yeah. Because we won't count.
About 41 more days or something like that.
Whatever. It is a long time. Man, it is a long time. All right. You're managing again after, what, a couple of years off? How much did you miss it? I'm not going to ask if you missed it because you had to miss it. That's why you came back.
Yeah,
how much did you miss it?
So much. I love managing baseball. I love it more than playing the game. There's no O-force when you manage, but it's just the relationships and seeing people have success and the strategy of the game and the relationships you create with your coaches and the players and the fans. I missed it more than I ever would have thought that I missed it. So this has been a true blessing for me.
You know, I always, but in many cases, believe that a catcher and a pitcher can be better at managing a baseball team because they're into every pitch. Did you find that when you started managing to be the case and find it now that, you know, you're thinking like you were when you were behind the plate as a catcher?
I think what happens for catchers is you manage a game every day when you're playing because you understand what you have in your bullpen, you understand who's on the mound and how many innings you need to get from him to be successful, and you set up the game plan in your head how you're going to get the hitters out. Because to me, yeah, scoring runs is important, but the game is really about run prevention. And the more runs that you prevent, the better chance you have to win every day. And you do that every day back there. You have to deal with guys that run and possible hit and run and calling pitches to try to negate those things. So you're always thinking about the strategy of the game, where other players don't necessarily do that. They think about, okay, where do I need to set up defensively? That's all they're thinking about. They're not thinking about what pitch is going to be called or any of that, or who's left in the bullpen. They don't think about that. So I think for us, it comes natural.
You know, when you, I'll call you a baseball guy and not a computer guy. There's obviously thoughts of how you and how baseball constructed a lineup. Have you changed those thoughts? And with that being the case, how do you like to construct a lineup It used to be, I forget who, which player I was talking to yesterday. The third hitter was an on-base guy, hit with a pretty good average and had some power. I don't know if that's the case anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it has changed a little bit. But I think the biggest principle that I try to follow is I want my best hitters to hit the most. Right? I mean, that's the bottom line. And if I have guys that are great on-base guys and great power guys, there's a real good chance they're going to hit second or maybe even third. If I have guys that aren't such great on-base guys and are slug guys, they're going to hit a little bit further down in the lineup. But when you get that rare guy that does both, hits for power and is on base all the time, your lineup becomes extremely dangerous. And that's what we want to create.
So does that mean Bryce Harper is a two-hitter rather than a three-hitter?
He could be. And so much of it depends on everybody around them. You can't just say, well, I'm going to hit this guy here because maybe you don't have a leadoff hitter that is right-handed that fits the bill. So maybe you want to go left, right, left, opposed to going left, left, because now with the new rule where they have to face three hitters, you kind of want to spread your lefties out, maybe put two right-handers in between. So the lineup construction always depends on everyone, not just one guy.
Well, obviously what's important for this team is, I called him Lawrence the other day and got crushed on Twitter, McCutcheon, because I remember the running back who obviously,
yes.
A good running back. That's all right. I got 250,000 views over a guy taking BP, which is ridiculous. But McCutcheon is important because he is probably your best leadoff hitter. Would you agree with that?
I would say going into this year, he has been the best leadoff guy that is in camp. Now, could someone else emerge? Absolutely. But in my mind, playing with that, I'm thinking that he's our leadoff guy. But you also understand that he's not going to be able to play every day. So someone else has to fit the bill there. And we might take it a little bit slow in the beginning just because of what he's coming back for and not trying to give him too much. So I'm not a guy that wants to change the lineup completely every day. I mean, if you're facing a right-hander and a right-hander, I don't want to have two lineups that are completely different. I like consistency because I think hitters work together. So, but in saying that, you know, Kutch is, you know, is the favorite to be the leadoff hitter going in.
All right. So now we come to, will he be ready? And I'll just preface this by saying, and I've seen a lot of ACL injuries in football. Pat Shurmur, who you remember, obviously I still know him, told me when people were complaining about Wentz, hey, it took Bradford close to 2 years to come back fully from that kind of injury. And McCutcheon is in his 30s. Is there really, it seems like there's a chance he's not going to be ready for the start of the season. You want to give people this positive approach, but in reality, it hasn't even been a year.
Well, the thing is that everybody heals a little bit different, and he has not been in, you know, complete game-like conditions to where it's fair to evaluate and what happens to his knee. You know, right now everything he goes through is controlled, and everything has been good, and we expect everything to continue to be good. But, you know, maybe if he got on bases and had to go first to home and then, you know, first to third, maybe he's a little bit sore the next day. So we're not really going to know that until we get into some games in spring training. But in saying that, everything has been really positive so far. Like yesterday, he was on the field taking BP. He was doing light outfield drills. That's good. And we're still, you know, 40 days away from our first game. I mean, there's a long time here.
You know, when I watched him yesterday, it looked like he was swinging more with his upper body because is either afraid or not quite there with that knee. Did I misread the way I watched him?
I didn't see his BP.
On Twitter?
Yeah, I always thought he was somewhat of an upper body hitter anyway.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Everyone knows that when you have an injury, there's a little hesitancy until you, like, maybe get knocked down or something, or if you're a football player, you take a hit. You know, until you go through it in a game and maybe he uses his whole body, he's going to be a little hesitant, and we all get that.
All right. This is a question that I come up with every year, and I've had Matt Klentak and dealt with this. The Phillies with, 972 analytics people? You know, I'm being sarcastic. And the previous manager leaned on his computer so much. But, again, I go back to you being a baseball guy. how much do you really have a feel, look at it, and it's baseball, and not mark everything down, and this guy's here, and this guy's here because of analytics?
Well, I really believe that analytics have been used a long time. We call them numbers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we call them averages and statistics. And you know, so every decision that a manager has made has involved numbers the whole way through. Like, you don't just bring in a right-hander to face a right-hander just because you know that if this guy's had success off of this guy or he's been good against right, that's been going on for 100 years, right? So to me, the analytics is just another tool in your toolbox to use. And, you know, I've always been, you know, what I would call a math guy, because I think math tells a story over time. I do. But math doesn't always tell the story that day. You know, numbers are a black and white issue where the game is played in a gray issue, right? So it's our job to marry them together to make the best possible decision to help players have success. Some days we're going to be right. Some days we're going to be wrong, because there's a human element always involved. Like, every day that we drop a game plan, you know, I imagine us winning 10-0. But it never goes according to plan.
No,
but I think you have to use everything that you have at your disposal to make the best possible decision that you can.
Well, the one thing that I never heard until a few years ago, and now baseball has their own company, I guess, stat, whatever it is, launch angle and exit velocity, I think it's hurt some players.
I agree.
Okay. I'll use Scott Kingery as an example, who I think is going to be a really good player, and I think we all agree with that. It's not rocket science. But he struck out about 150 times last year. This guy is probably a 20-home run guy who should hit 280 and be really good for you in the field. However, he swings up. I see him work. He wants home runs. This is just – is launch angle to you – they coach guys like this. It drives me crazy.
Okay. I was re-signed by the Chicago Cubs in the year 2000, and Jeff Pentland was the hitting coach, and I believe he was a physics major. He's one of the best hitting coaches I've ever been around. And he used to always say, get the ball in the air. Get the ball in the air. He didn't say launch angle, but he would say back knee goes down, ball goes up, is what he would say, and it's what he taught. So,
but do you change your swing to
no,
do that?
I believe, yes, you want to get the bat in the zone and keep it in the zone as long as possible. Correct. So guys that have steep swings, a guy like Curtis Granderson had a really steep swing, had a lot of power, but there were strikeouts because the bat was in and out of the zone very quickly. But when he hit it, Grandy, he was very effective and he did a lot of damage. You want guys that keep the bat in the zone a long time and get the ball in the air with their legs, because then you really have something. So I don't think that and we used to call them ropes, right? We knew when we hit a ball hard, we didn't need a number.
Right.
But I think sometimes young players can get caught up in that. And if I had one statistic that I would measure hitters by, it would be quality at bats.
Okay. We agree that Betts is a great player.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Yelich is a great player.
Beautiful.
Launch angle for Betts last year was 18.4, which was 17th in the league. He still hit 32 home runs. Yelich, who missed 6 weeks, 4.7, 250th in the league, and he had 36 home runs, right, and he missed 6 weeks. Why do you need – why do some people pound it in their heads that you got to swing up to – you can't hit a fastball or breaking ball, a high fastball or breaking ball that way.
Right, because there's more damage done in the air than there is on the ground. That's what it really comes down to. And we all understand that, but hard contact is important. Contact is important, and the quality of a bat is important to me. I don't want to say, well, he's got a launch angle of 23. Okay, if he doesn't ever get any hits and he strikes out all the time, it doesn't matter, right? A little guy can't have a high launch angle because his balls in the air are out. Big, powerful guys can have more of a launch angle because their balls carry out of the ballpark. So to me, it's players understanding who they are and us helping them understand who they are to get the best out of them.
All right. Joe, you played in an era when Mike Schmidt played. Oh, and yeah. We'd always talk to Mike about hitting. It was great. It was fascinating to me because he was one that always made adjustments up in the box, back in the box, closer, back, because pitchers make adjustments. But he would like to swing down on the ball, he said, because topspin will drive the ball. I mean, he led the home run led the league in home runs three times. Why can that not still be the case? And as you said, get the bat through the zone. Why are players not coached that way? And why is Scott Kingery striking out 150 times?
Again, when you have topspin, actually, you see what happens to a tennis ball.
Right.
Right? But guys who swing down, they want to get that backspin
right.
and catch the ball like this, and it's going to go up in the air. And I know you can't see what I'm doing.
I can. They can.
On the radio. Yeah. But gets the ball in the air. But the guys that are able to keep the bat flat through the zone the longest make the most contact and have the most room for air because you can be late on a ball, but because it's flat through the zone, you might hit it down the right field line. So it's just been a change in philosophy. It's kind of like and I liken it to, okay, when we grew up, the inside game in basketball was really important.
Yeah, there was a mid-range game. There was
Where'd it go? It's gone, right? Because it's more the deep three, and we'll take our chances right. that we'll have enough of them during the course of the game, and we'll win the game. We'll get more shots off. We'll shoot fast. So games have changed. Football used to be give it to the guy three times in a cloud of dust, and let's see if we get a first down, and there's eight possessions in the game. Now we pass it 90% of the time. So games have evolved. It's not just our game, but again, I still think you look at the teams that are in the World Series and win the World Series and go the deepest in the postseason as hitters. They strike out the least, they walk the most, right? Because they make contact.
Okay, and strikeouts do matter. I mean, Ryan Howard would say it, and I heard, well, what's a strikeout or an out? Well, you put the ball in play, there's a lot of things that can happen. The two-strike approach is because guys apparently
it's
don't
the one strike approach.
Yeah.
The
well,
old strike
Jason
approach.
Worth was terrific with two strikes.
Yeah.
He was because he could take pitchers. But when you see players, and it's happened on this team, a pitch because he wants to take a pitch, which is right in his zone, and he takes it because he wants to take pitches, does that have to change at least a little bit?
I think that the biggest thing for hitters today,
and Reese Hoskins is one. I don't know that he's a good two-strike hitter.
I think the biggest thing today is hitters have to be able to hit their pitch. They have to understand what their pitch is, and they need to be ready to hit it, whether it's 0-0, 2-0, 0-1. You have to be ready to attack balls that are in the zone that you do the most damage. So understand that. And I do believe that hitters can become better hitters with two strikes because strikeouts do matter. When there's a runner on third with one out, a strikeout really matters, right? Put the ball in play and take your chances. Maybe you got contact on and the guy's really fast and you can score. You know, you got a guy like Roman Quinn on and he's doing contact. It's going to be hard to get him out unless the guy hits a bullet, right? So strikeouts do matter. And to just say that, I mean, there are certain guys, there are certain at-bats that a strikeout's not going to matter, right? And out's an out. But there are a lot at bats that we need you to put the ball in play.
Joe, why has the Yankees farm system been so good? I mean, we saw what happened to them last year. The most injuries, guys on the injured list, and they won 103 games. Right. So when you or when Matt or when if we don't have injuries, well, everybody has injuries. It's really the system that supports it. Why has the Yankee system been so good?
It wasn't for a long time.
Oh, really?
My first 7 or 8 years, it struggled. So when we had injuries, we had to go outside to gather players. But over time, they made trades, you know, July 31st trades like a Chapman and an Andrew Miller, and they built up their farm system, and they made some really important international signings. They got more money, and it took off. But eventually, that catches up to you, right? Eventually, you don't get as much to sign the international. Now you're picking 29th or 30th all the time. You can't trade players away, you know, really good players away to build up your farm system because you're in it, right? I mean, think about what they got Chapman. They got Gleyber Torres, right? And then they got Chapman back. So, I mean, think about that. So there's a lot of things that happened that went right for them. And you know, all farm systems start to dwindle a little bit, but I think they're also very good at preparing their players.
You know, Joe, I know you said yesterday that the Astros situation, you just move on and you don't really care about it. I believe that was your last game as a Yankee manager.
Yes.
When Altuve knew what was coming. How do you hit a fastball pitch? No, you're ready for a changeup. It's mind-boggling. You've got to be pissed. I mean, all these players are talking about it. Bo even said, you know, these guys are going to get drilled. And back in the day, they would drill these guys.
Yeah.
They're going to get hit. Somebody's going to be throwing at these guys. And you got to be pissed, Joe.
I guess I've just moved on.
Last game as a Yankee manager. And you
I really don't think much about it. You know, really? I don't, because I'm more concerned as I'm taking, you know, all the signs from our pitchers and what they use and trying to figure out a system that we protect our signs more. I'm more worried about that because there's nothing I can do about 2017, 16, 15. I can't do it. So, and you know, I'm a believer, and I believe that God puts me where he wants me. No matter what is out there, that's where he wants me, here in Philadelphia, and it's my time here.
Bellinger just went off on them yesterday. You know, you realize it changed. Altuve won the MVP, but it could have been Judge. There's a lot of different things.
There's a lot of different things, and a lot of times it's beneficial for players. They end up getting large contracts because they're very successful.
And guys go down and never see the light
of
day.
But it's the world we live in.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Hey.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love talking baseball with a baseball guy. Don't ever use the term XFIP. Because I went off on that. Don't use XFIP, please.
Stay I won't. Don't worry.
All right. And just let me tell you this. I'm going to tell people about Tasty Cake. You like cheesesteaks? Yeah, by the way, with or without? Cheese Whiz or no Cheese Whiz?
No Cheese Whiz.
Good. Oh, my gosh. Cheese Whiz is a scam. But Tasty Cake's big in Philadelphia, too. Just remember that.
I do. Thank you.
Joe, it's always my pleasure. And at some point, it might be yours. All right. WIP Sports Time is now 8:41. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. It's obviously too early to set a lineup, but it sounds like, Harper will hit wherever he wants to hit. I'm still, you know, old school when it comes to baseball and like to have him hit three. But the other thing is, and Scott Kingery's got to cut down from those 150 strikeouts. He's got to stop worrying about launch angle. It's a joke. It's a joke launch angle. You believe those numbers that I rattled off to Joe Girardi? Christian Yelich had a launch angle of 4.7, 250th in baseball. Had 36 home runs and missed 6 weeks. Mookie Betts was 17th with an 18.4 launch angle, which is nonsense. Still had 32 home runs. 17th. Stop with the launch angle and the nonsense. So, that was important. The other thing that was important as far as what I got out of Joe, he does not put Cheese Whiz on his cheese steaks. Cheese Whiz is a scam and it's a joke. So knowing that is important. And I still can't believe that he's not at least a little bit annoyed. And I think he agrees with a lot of people. The Houston Astros players, if I'm Chapman and I face Altuve, the first pitch is right at his ribs, and I throw it as hard as I can. And if he gets suspended, he gets suspended. I'm sure the commissioner is going to tell people, but the commissioner ought to shut up in this case. He doesn't want it to be crazy, but they deserve everything they get. They cost players money. They cost players jobs. They cost players titles. And it was disgraceful the way they addressed it the other day, but Joe said he's not mad. I don't know if I totally believe it. That was his last game, and who knows whether history would have been different. That was his last game as the Yankee manager because they lost the series, and who knows that they couldn't have won the World Series. And if they did that, who knows whether Joe Girardi would still be a Yankee manager. It's a fascinating thought to see how many things have changed. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Aaron, thanks for holding. You're on WIP.
Hey, how you doing, Howard?
How you doing?
Yeah, you learn how to hit the baseball in Little League. All of that. If you're not hitting the shift, that's something that you should already know how to do. I don't know about the launch angles and all that. But anyway, Howard.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so we're about a couple of weeks from free agency. So what the Eagles going to address in free agency?
Well, obviously, they need wide receivers, plural. And you're probably not going to get them all in the draft. And they have to address – it's you always want to get – if you can get good offensive linemen, and you're not going to get good offensive or defensive linemen deep in the draft because the draft – you might get lucky, but the draft is heavy with wide receivers and it's heavy with defensive backs. So you may not have to take a wide receiver in the first round. As we look at history – there's teams that got really good receivers in the second, third, and fourth, and even fifth rounds. So I just think it's going to be an offensive and defensive lineman. But to answer your question, they need wide receivers. They probably need defensive backs.
If the quarterback is not reliable, he can't complete a season or throw the long ball, I mean – I never heard of
Who are we talking about? Wait, who are we talking about?
Carson Wentz.
Wait, he completed this. He completed the season. Okay. That was not an injury that really is because he's injury prone. He got hit in the head with a helmet. He was told he couldn't go back in the game. He would have probably gone with it with an injury. It wasn't – I don't consider that an injury. So stop with he won't go through a season, and he can't throw a long ball. He can do both.
Oh, okay, Howard, a 5'6 guy won the slam dunk contest. His name was Spud Webb. Okay.
Yep, I remember him.
Okay. All right, Howard, nice talking to you.
Yeah, when you see those little guys, I know. A Spud Webb, well, that to me would win it. If you can do amazing things with a dunk – and you're 5'6", anybody, dunk to me in the NBA is, and all these guys that dunk and slam it hard and then mug at the camera, like, who cares? When I see Ben Simmons dunk, you're 6'10". Is that a big deal that you dunk when the other team lets you just drive right down the lane? It really is. Dunks don't do it for me. Three-point shooters... Now there's too many three-point shooters, but everybody shoots a three. The game, and Joe Girardi talked about it, the game has changed. There's no mid-range game. It's all three-point shooters. But I used to like to see there was some really, really great, great three-point shooters. Larry Bird, especially for a big guy, was absolutely sensational. I'll never forget his three-point shooting contest. He did it without – I mean, it was just – he did it basically without looking at the basket. He had that feel. But that, to me, is still something. The game, the NBA All-Star game is a joke. After 5 minutes, you say, I'm done. I don't even know if I'll watch 5 minutes. I'm done. Because it's a bunch of players that just want to score as many points as they can. There's no defense. There's no real basketball. It's guys... I don't even know if a dunk's a big deal, but that's the only way Ben Simmons is going to be able to score in an All-Star game. That's a joke that he's the All-Star. Bradley Beal was the All-Star. But that's another subject for another day. All right, Cody Bellinger, because the Dodgers are the ones that got beat by those cheating Astros, went off on the Astros, and more people did it. Larry Boa said here that those guys should get drilled. You got to throw at them. You got to teach them a lesson. And back, can you imagine Steve Carlton, if he heard people banging on trash cans, they wouldn't throw at guys to straighten them out? Because I think it's obvious now with more and more reports that everybody knew this was going on, or a lot of people knew this was going on. And baseball did nothing about it. That's a disgrace. All right, let me give you the numbers again. 888-729-9494. Anything you have to comment on what Joe Girardi said. Cody Bellinger, like I said, went off. Obviously, I don't know how people... And the Phillies weren't even affected by the Astros. They play them this year in July. but they weren't affected. So I don't know that the Phillies pitchers will throw at him. They're not going to be banging on trash cans in Houston. That's a disgrace. And Andy McPhail, he did say he'd lock up the video room. I've said this for weeks now. The video room behind the dugout has got to be eliminated. It's closed down during the game because they don't really go in there for what they say they go in there for. They go in there to check where the umpire, well, was that a strike? Did he call me out on a good pitch? They go in there a lot of times for that. But we'll talk about that. Changes, you know, the baseball, the new format, it's all about money. It's all about money, keeping fans interested to the end. Playoffs, they're bogus playoffs. We can talk about that. The Eagles, the needs, the owners' meetings come up at the end of March. There'll be rules changes. They're going to switch back. They're not going to have that challenge on a nine call anymore. I think that's going to go. And how do you feel? We didn't touch on Joel Embiid. It's not going to be good when he comes back. He's going to get his head filled with a lot of nonsense at the All-Star game. All right, we're in Clearwater. WIP Sports Time is now 8:57. 94 WIP from Clearwater, Florida. The veterans due to report tomorrow. I think the first workout for veterans will be, but all of them are here except Harper and Segura. Segura should be here. Harper I'm not worried about, obviously. Talk to Joe Girardi. The Phillies, and just to touch on the McCutchen thing, and nobody's going to say anything, I'm not sure, based on the injury, that McCutchen, his friends call him Larry, McCutchen, Andrew McCutchen, will be ready at the start of the season. There's no reason to rush him back because you want to make sure he's at his best. It's not a lot of things. He's in the cage. He's doing light running, as Girardi said. But I'm not so sure he'll be ready. I don't know that they have another leadoff hitter. But we talked some baseball. We'll talk Sixers. The Astros, what they did the other day was a disgrace. Those prepared statements were a joke. The owner was a moron. They say it didn't really impact the game. Oh, really? It didn't impact the game? When you know a changeup's coming from a guy that throws 100 miles an hour, you hit a home run to win the series, didn't impact the game? Certainly impacted the game. I saw Clayton Kershaw's numbers in Houston and in Los Angeles against the Astros. It was a joke. It was a joke because he couldn't get anybody out. It was a joke. It's a disgrace. It is, and I'm mad, and they're not even in the National League. I'm mad. I'm mad that they weren't penalized more. So we can deal with that. I'm going to play some of the comments from Cody Bellinger coming up shortly. But let's go to Randy, who's been holding on. Randy, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, I got to run something by you regarding the Eagles. So there, I'm sure you remember about 4 years ago, a receiver named Kevin White. He was the talk of the drafts coming up with Amari Cooper. Do you remember him?
Barely. I don't remember him because now, is he anywhere? He's not even in the NFL, right?
No, he's not. He's not. He was with the Cardinals during the training camp last year. And, you know, he had all kind of injury problems with the Bears. He was a seventh choice in the draft. But why wouldn't the Eagles take a shot with somebody like that? Bring him in for the minimum. The kid's about 6'4", 220. He's got 4.4 speed. And, I mean, you know, he's only 27 years old. You think they just take a shot on him, and he's fresh now. He's been out a year.
Well, there's two ways to look at that. How do you know they're not looking at him? They're going to wait till they see what they draft. Then they'll look at unsigned free agent players. There's so many things. You're so far away from making that decision. And the other thing is, if he was that good, why isn't he with a team? You know, why didn't somebody else take a shot?
No, that's true. I mean, that's a good point.
But
he had injury problems. But I just thought with the Eagles situation, I mean, geez, it certainly would have been worth a shot with him anyway, given what they had last year. So it was just something I wanted to throw out. I thought it was somebody that's sitting there, an interesting choice, and you never know what you're going to get. The kid, he's from the area anyway, and he might come back refreshed and give you something you really need.
Yeah, well, but it's a long time down the road. Yeah, they got plenty of time to figure out what they need, depending on what they who they sign, who they draft, and what undrafted free agents are out there. Remember, there's so many. When you get a young player, it's less expensive, and he may be just as fast and just as good as Kevin White. And you don't just bring in 27-year-old players. All right? All right, hey, thanks for the call, Randy. All right, Cody Bellinger went off yesterday. I see where Trevor Bauer is also. He's with the Reds. Here's a quote from Trevor Bauer. I'm not going to let them forget the fact that they are hypocrites, talking about the Astros. They are cheaters. They've stolen from a lot of people and the game itself. And he's absolutely, absolutely right. They mocked everything about everyone who said they were doing something under the table or illegal or whatever. Cheating is one thing. It's not okay. But at least if you cheat and you come out and you get caught and you're like, look, I did this and it wasn't right. That is why I did it. If I'm not going to do it again, I learned my lesson. But he's not happy. And Cody Bellinger, who obviously lost a chance to go to the World Series, or lost the World Series, not go to the World Series, lost the World Series to the Astros, and they were cheating. Kershaw, I believe, had a lead, and then they started, well, they were probably cheating, and they knew his pitches, and he got lit up, just got lit up. But here, listen to the Dodgers, I believe Cody Bellinger won the MVP, the Dodgers outfielder Cody Bellinger. Yeah, and that's the point. The fact that they said they didn't use buzzers, well, we know they did. It's just in the videos there, don't rip my shirt off is what he says. You can read his lips. He holds his shirt on, goes into the clubhouse, into the locker room to change his shirt after they've just won the series, to go just won that series against the Yankees to go to the World Series. And he comes back out with another shirt. That is, they're still lying, and it's still disgraceful, and it's still annoying. And the truth, I always believe the truth will set you free. And they have not told the truth in anything. And I'm sure they lied to the commissioner with some of the things in the investigation. It is a disgrace. I don't know that Carlos Beltran is going to get a job anytime soon. Was the Mets manager, but he shouldn't be. And I didn't realize they were cheating for 3 years. It's just disgraceful. Disgraceful. All right, let's go to I'm annoyed. You can just imagine the players. There's some players that got lit up, went down to the minor leagues, and never made it back up to the big leagues. It's outrageous, and the commissioner has got to do more. I know it's hard to fine or suspend players because the Players Association will go. They've given him immunity. But you got to vacate the World Series. I don't care if they give back the rings. The player could say he lost his ring. What are you going to do? Whatever. They can't wear it with pride. They can't wear it with pride now anyway. They can't display it with pride. But they should take away the trophy, and they should vacate the World Series. To me, that's a no-brainer, and the commissioner's got to have some gonads. Let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Howard, it's cold back here in Philly.
I know. I've heard.
Just went shopping. It's 16 degrees. Wish I was down there with you.
Yeah, well, it's going to be like 80 today. I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah. No, hey, before I get to my Phillies point, have you heard from Arthur and the Clink? How's he doing?
Yes, I have heard from him. He's still in there. It's not easy to call out. He's smuggled a cell phone in there, but it's very difficult for him to call. I don't know how much longer he's going to be in there, but he always makes a mistake to get himself more time. It's a joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have heard from him. He's still alive. That's the one thing. They haven't kicked the living daylights out of him in there.
On the Phillies, you're talking about Gene Segura, and, he'll be in camp tomorrow, hopefully. Are the Phillies actively trying to trade him or not?
Well, actively is an interesting word. Have they investigated the possibility of the trade? Yes, absolutely. There's a reason he's been with five teams. I don't think he's a team guy. You look at his numbers and say, you know what, they're pretty good. Why has he been with so many teams? And yesterday, and that's why I didn't even bother to ask Joe Girardi the question. There's so many things that I wanted to talk to him about. But he said, it's okay with Gene Segura not being here. Spring training's long. He's fighting for a job. But he knows he's getting paid. He's either going to play third, which I understand from what I'm told, he really doesn't want to play third. But he's not going to be good at second base because he didn't have enough range at shortstop. At second base, you still got to have range. You still have to have the range. And Kingery is a better second baseman than a third baseman, but he's good at third base, but he's a better second baseman. He should be in here. But have they actively tried to trade him? They have talked to teams about him, but who wants Gene Segura, really? Who wants Gene Segura?
Yeah, what do we have him for, 2 more years?
I think it is 2 more years. Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. I think Kingery is a natural second baseman. His offense will improve being in a position. He'll probably be playing for the next 10 years. And Segura, you know, he doesn't have the range. Like you said, he should be at third base. And I know he's going to cause problems. So it's going to be an issue this year.
Well,
this
I don't know if he's going to cause problems. He's just the way he plays. He's not going to be good enough. And people keep on talking about Chris Bryant with the Phillies. I don't know what the Phillies have to trade to get Chris Bryant. I don't think they have enough to trade to get Chris Bryant. But if they get a third baseman, and he would be the only one that I can see is the possibility, if they get a third baseman, then Segura won't even play. But that being the case, they're not going to get – I think it would be very, 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 very difficult to get Chris Bryant because they just don't have enough. Yep. They don't have the minor leaguers. They just don't have enough.
One more thing, Haseley, are they going to have a short leash on this guy, or are they going to give him a couple months to try to stay in there and keep the position in center field?
Well, he doesn't have the position yet. There is no leash. No, he's got to play for the job. I don't know that he's an everyday second baseman. A center fielder. I don't know who else will play center. I mean, you look at Quinn, if he stays healthy, will play center.
He never is.
I don't think Haseley is an everyday center fielder. Not yet. He hasn't shown me that he's an everyday center fielder yet. So there's no short leash. As long as Quinn stays healthy, they're going to platoon. There's no question they're going to platoon.
All right, Howard. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call. 94 WIP. Let's go to, is that Rob? Rob in Springfield. Rob, you're on WIP.
Howard, thanks for taking my call. Nice to finally talk to you. Moved to the Philly area
it's
back
your
in the
pleasure.
Mid-'80s. And
it's your it's pleasure.
It's been a long time. Anyway, I want to talk about the Astros. And there are two things that amaze me about the organization and what they did is that, one, nobody stood up in the clubhouse and said, hey, this is wrong. This is unethical. We shouldn't do this. I mean, there are two basic reasons people don't do bad things, wrong things, whatever you want to call them. One is they have a sense of ethics, right and wrong. The second is fear of getting caught and punished. And no one stood up and said, hey, you know, what happens if this comes out into light, which it did. And the reality is they got away with it. The players didn't get punished. I mean, in my opinion, I know this will never happen. What they ought to do is say to every one of the players, okay, you did this, 20% of your salary for the next season, 2020, goes to charity. Go to the organization. 20% of your TV money for the year goes to charity.
But they
I know
can't
that'll
do,
never happen.
But it can't
I know,
happen
I know, I know they can't do that.
Yeah.
I wish
you know
they
what?
Could.
Well, how about the player? I forget the player's name, who is suing them, a civil suit. I think it's a civil suit. And he doesn't want any money. He wants the money that he could get from that to go to a charity, which I think is great. But I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know how you can sue him. I don't know how you can win a suit. You
nice
can sue
if
him.
Could, yeah. I'm with you and Larry Boa. I hope they stock up on ibuprofen in the Astros clubhouse because they all deserve to just get drilled. And I think it's going to happen.
They're going to get drilled. And The Yankees obviously are going to play the Astros. They're going to play them twice. They have to play them twice. They have to play them, when I say twice, two different series, at home and on the road. I think they play them twice. If I'm Chapman and I'm facing Altuve, now the problem is you're facing him in a tight game, but I'd still hit him. Maybe if there's two outs and there's nobody on base, you got to find the right situation, because you can't just lose the game because you're stupid. But Altuve's got to get hit multiple times this year. And he was such a likable guy, but he's such a cheat. And Bellinger is a smug son of a gun, and I'd drill his ass too.
Well, then the argument they made that what we did didn't make any difference. Well, if that's true, why did you do it? I mean, that's such
correct.
A bunch of BS. They know it. We know it.
I'll ask you this, Rob. I think fans, and have you ever been as outraged over a situation in sports, but I guess primarily in baseball, as you are with this?
No, because it directly impacted the game. I mean, let's face it, baseball comes down to the duel between the pitcher and the hitter. That's what makes it such a great game. They're trying to outguess one another, And if the hitter knows what the pitcher's throwing, it completely changes the game. It changes the outcome of the game. Like you said, you know, maybe the Yankees go on and win the World Series if they're not doing that.
Well, maybe
Joe Girardi's still manager of the Yankees.
Right. Maybe he gets a new big contract. Who knows?
And I got to believe he's mad.
And we lost.
He's not
going to
say it.
Now, he's won World Series, but he had a chance to win another. I don't think Joe thinks about the Hall of Fame, but if you win multiple World Series, and obviously you've had success with a team, you know, he's got to be considered for the Hall of Fame. Now, does he think about that? No. But 10, 15 years from now, he may think about that. And he may be mad at that time.
I'm glad he's here. He's a big improvement over what we had.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? I appreciate the call, Rob. Hey, Kyle, do you have, you know, he just mentioned that. Rob just mentioned it. Gabe Kapler, you should have played him back-to-back with Joe Girardi. But he just typical Gabe Kapler. I don't even know what he's talking about. But let's see if we can give you a little Gabe Kapler as we head into the break. Go ahead, Kyle, if you have something ready there.
We know that we may not win two out of three in a three-game series, but we know that we're going to exhaust our opponents. And we're going to do that by making good swing decisions, by dominating the strike zone offensively, and as pitchers, we're going to fill it up with strikes. And then we're going to take every last inch on the bases, and we're going to play with a high level of energy and enthusiasm. And those are the things that are within our control. We believe that those processes will help us win as many games as possible.
Oh my!
For me personally, I love it because guys are just going to get to sleep a little bit longer. And we're going to stress to them, rather than having an alarm clock wake you up in the morning, get up when you get up. Come to the ballpark when it's time to work.
You know what? He said that with the Phillies, the alarm clock thing. What happens if you're late? Suppose you don't get up when you get up when you get up and you come to the ballpark and you're late. That's asinine. And then there's energy, playing with energy, and we're going to exhaust well, did the Phillies exhaust everything? He had the same thing last year. Did the Phillies exhaust everything? It's just, oh my gosh, Gabe. You know, we're going to miss him. One of the things I told Girardi, and if you didn't hear it, we're going to podcast the whole show, and Joe Girardi's on it. I asked him, please, don't mention XFIP to me. Please, don't mention XFIP. That is the biggest bunch of nonsense. It is such BS. Oh, my gosh. But we're going to miss Gabe, but we're not going to miss listening to him after every game. And then before every game. Because I would go into this office with the media that were in there. It was a joke, XFIP. All right, 94 WIP. Please, Joe Girardi, and I've asked him, please don't use a computer to manage a game. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin, WIP Sports Time here in sunny, beautiful, not cold Philadelphia. WIP Sports Time is 922. 94 WIP. Howard Eskin here on a... The sun is bright. The sky is mostly blue. A few clouds. It's just a wonderful day here in Clearwater. I'll tell you, listening to Gabe Kapler before we went to the break, you really can't get enough of Gabe Kapler, can you? I do not think he's got a 3-year contract in San Francisco. I do not think he'll make it through the 3 years. And the reason I don't think is because the media is already all over him. The people are not happy because he kind of glossed over that situation on the cover-up of the domestic assault. So with all that being said, I think they got off on the wrong foot with him. And I think he's going to pay. I think he's going to pay the price during the season. He will pay the price. And they are not going to be as good as they've been in the past. There's just no way they can be as good. They've lost some people. Bruce Bochy was a very good manager. And I said when I had Girardi on earlier, and I believe that catchers and pitchers make better managers because they've thought the game on every pitch. Every pitch they have played the game in their head, and I always thought that they were better as managers. So that's a good thing, too. We haven't heard from anybody to talk about Joel Embiid, and I said this the other night on the air, and I'll say it again. I think the fans, you disappointed me, the fans that were there at the Sixers game, after he criticized you for being mad because he said, shut the bleep up. You could read his lips and shushing you. And he said, you got to do a better job after that game. But when he made a basket early and got fouled, and then he raises his arm for the fans to cheer, fans should not have cheered. Let him know that you're not happy with him and you are disappointing to me to allow that, because he knows he's got you. He knows you'll always come back to him, and all he wants is attention. He'll never be a great basketball player as long as that's his focus. He wants attention. All right, let's go to Greg. Greg, you're on WIP.
Greg actually dropped off.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Rob. Greg is not there. Let's go to Rob.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
Howard.
Yeah, I'm here. This is Rob, right? Rob, right? Yeah, Rob. You're there,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah, hey, Howard.
Yeah.
Howard, hear me? How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Howard, I was going to get your opinion. Why ain't Harper in training yet? Why didn't he show up yet?
Why do I what?
Why didn't Harper show up to spring training yet?
Because he's not required to. The veterans are not required until it's either, I believe it's tomorrow and Monday or physicals, or Monday. It's either tomorrow or Monday, but they're not required to have shown up yet.
So he'll be there on time, right?
Yes, he will be. Yeah, no question. He'll probably be here tomorrow.
He said McCutcheon won't be ready for the beginning of the
I just, based on previous examples of that injury, I question whether he'll be ready for the start of the season.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, what do you think? Are they going to replace him?
Yeah, they're going to get Babe Ruth.
Hello?
They're going to get Babe Ruth.
Yeah, really? Come on.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, come on, man. Oh. Rob, did you have nothing better to do but call me? Did you have nothing better to do?
Yeah, I did, so I was walking my dog.
You're walking your dog. Did the dog poop yet?
I was walking my dog, and then I had to call you.
Wait a minute. Did the dog poop yet?
Yes, he did.
Okay, did you clean it up? Did you clean it up?
Of course I did.
Okay, good. Then I'm going to clean up the poop on the air right now. Thanks, Rob. Have a great day. All right, let's go to Frank. Oh my gosh. You always get one. I've never had a bad day in my life. This is just great.
How about this, Howard, for suggestion? Since the owner of the Astros said it didn't have an impact on the game, how about whenever they play on the road, they're forced to, the pitcher has to tell the batter what pitch he's throwing every pitch and see how much, see how many games they win and how much of an impact it has on the game.
Well, I don't understand what you're trying to say.
So when the Astros are pitching, their pitcher has to signal to the batter, you know, let's just say he holds up his hand.
Oh, yeah, I mean, come on now. You can't do that.
I'm just saying that that's how asinine what he said. It doesn't make any sense at all. Because if it didn't have an impact, number one, they wouldn't do it.
Well, we know that the owner who demanded the players apologize, well, that apology was not only it was a disgrace and it was an insult. It was an insult to people for those two players to get up there and they didn't say anything. They really didn't say anything. And it's basically prepared statements. If you're going to have them apologize, they got to say, hey, listen, we cheated. It was wrong. And it was wrong. And we hurt other people and other players. And we hurt the fans. We were wrong. You got to admit everything. But the thing that kind of pisses me off now too, they're still denying the buzzer. Then why did Altuve hold his jersey and said, "Don't rip it off, run to the dugout to take it off and put on another shirt after they win the game"? You're out there celebrating with your players, just winning a walk-off home run to win a series. There's nothing more dramatic than that. Nothing. And he runs into the dugout to take his jersey off. That pisses me off that these guys are still lying about the buzzer. They are absolutely disgraceful. And they were such, to me, they were such a likable team. They're not likable anymore.
I agree. And another thing is this. Like, they prided themselves on being this analytic team. Like, you almost had to throw all that data out the window. Like, all this information, this team does this team does that. It was all nonsense and BS. And the other thing, Howard, is...
Yeah, if you look at their... Just to comment on that, Frank, that their numbers on the road, their splits on the road and at home were dramatically different for those top hitters. So it shows you analytics is BS. I am so tired of computers running the game. I am so tired of players. Well, you got to take pitches, and then you take good pitches. If you see a pitch, hit it. Hit it if it's a strike and you like it.
Is it true that the intern that started the program is still an employee of them?
You know, I think he may be. You know, and baseball's got to do something about that.
How sincere is their apology?
Whoever it was didn't implement it for the players to do it. Again, the video room behind the dugout should not be open during the game. Should not be open during the game. Andy McPhail, if there's one thing he said yesterday that actually made sense, that was it. The rest of it, I don't care about. The Phillies pitchers being sixth in, as he said, velo in velocity in Major League Baseball. I don't care. You got to pitch well. I don't care how hard you throw. Everybody throws hard now. Almost everybody throws hard. It's ridiculous. Right. And you got to get rid of launch angle. You know, players worrying about launch angle. You want to get the ball in the air. And I talked to Joe Girardi about that. But in the philosophy of Mike Schmidt, if you swing down on the ball, you kind of undercut the ball, and you get the topspin on it, and that helps it travel. You got to be your bat's got to be through the zone. And again, if you didn't hear Joe Girardi earlier, I'm going to podcast the whole show. The bat's got to stay there through the level through the zone, and that's what you do. This swinging up and worrying about hitting the ball up in the air to hit it out, can't worry about home runs. Christian Yelich, arguably, if he didn't get hurt, would have been the MVP again. His launch angle for his balls is 250 250th in Major League Baseball. 250th. He had 36 home runs and missed 6 weeks. You know, I don't care about exit velocity. You know, if you hit the ball hard and launch angle, it's a joke.
The problem is because the Astros was a successful team, they're probably using their information. And these guys knew what the pitcher was going to throw.
They knew the pitches. Yeah, they knew that the signs and the pitches. But it has nothing to do with analytics. That has nothing to do with analytics.
All of Major League Baseball is probably looking at what they're doing, is like their statistics, thinking that they need. You know what I mean? Their statistics are false.
Well, so everybody knows that.
Their data.
Everybody knows that. Yeah, there'll be a cycle. Here's the problem, and it's happened in two areas of sports, but certainly in baseball. Analytics people have created jobs for themselves. They're these geeks, these computer geeks. That's what they are, computer geeks, that tell you how important this is, and there's so many different numbers. And you can make numbers do whatever you want them to do. So they've created, the Phillies right. have, I don't even know how many people. I was sarcastic with Joe Girardi, like they have 972 people on computers. They have a lot. And they probably have either, if it's not the most in baseball, one of the most, because Matt Klentak is an analytics guy. And that's a problem, too. Analytics don't win games. They help you get information. But the game of baseball is the game of baseball. And it should be played as the game of baseball. I'm not worried about all this other nonsense. And that is a problem. And you can make numbers, as I said, and thanks for the call, Frank. You can make numbers do whatever you want them to do and whatever you want them to say. Again, yesterday, Andy McPhail, we're sixth in velo in Major League. Our pitchers are sixth in velo. Who cares? You're not the sixth best staff in baseball, and you're not close to that. I don't care about velocity. I don't care about velocity. I care about good pitchers with good location, making good decisions and good pitches in key situations. 94, WIP, some open lines. I haven't anybody complain about Joel Embiid. I got to get one complaint. You fans can't be happy with him. It's because he had a good game, bad game, good game, bad game, good game, whiner. He's such a child. He acts like a six-year-old who just wants attention. Hopefully we talk about that before the show's over. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. On your wireless device, which is a cell phone, it's #9494 on AT&T, service you know that I'm using, and #9494 on Verizon. WIP Sports Time is 941. 94, WIP, Howard Eskin here in Clearwater, Florida, sitting out overlooking the ballpark. Players starting to work out. All right, let's go back to the phones. Will, you're on WIP.
Hello, Howard.
Hi.
A couple questions for you. Do you think Rob Manfred, after looking at that press conference, do you think he's going to impose any more sanctions on them?
No. Nope, I do not.
Nothing.
We're still waiting for the Red Sox. No, I don't think. I think he did what he's going to do. And, I mean, they think it's a lot. They lost their number one pick, I think, for 2 years. $5 million is nothing to that owner. And
yeah.
They should... not allow them to play in the postseason, but then what does the season mean? I don't think you can do that. But there's got to be more than he did, because the players didn't suffer. The players are still going to get their money. The players are still going to compete for playoffs. The players didn't lose any money. They didn't lose anything. They didn't lose their World Series title. I think it's disgraceful what they didn't lose.
Nor was there any contrition for the people who lost their jobs. Either, of course.
Yes. Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. A couple baseball questions for you. Do you think perhaps maybe by August the Phillies infield will look like Bohm is playing third and Kingery will be at second?
No. Nope.
No.
Again, if you heard Joe Girardi, defense is really important. It's not the runs, it's the runs you prevent. And he's right.
Right.
The 80 Phillies were a great defensive team, and that's one of the reasons that they won. That's one of the reasons they won. Obviously, they had great players, and they had Steve Carlton and all those things. And yeah. Boehm, I just keep on getting reports that he's not at best average defensively at third base. So Kingery yeah. should be at second. But, no, as long as Segura's on the team, I just don't think Boehm's – he's not going to come up to sit on the bench. I don't think you're going to see Boehm for a while this season. Yeah, now, he'll probably be up this season at some point. But, no, I do not – I wonder, let's put it this way, I wonder whether he's the future third baseman. Hey, Phil, where are you calling from in Fort Myers, Will?
I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. I'm actually a teacher down here. So I'm
so in other words, you're not vacationing. You're not vacationing.
No. I'm originally from New Jersey, and I live down here, and I'm a teacher.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'm down here all year round. And it was interesting, I'm actually a baseball coach down here at a local high school. And one of the kids is a guy by the name of Dan Vogelbach, who's actually the first baseman for the Seattle Mariners. And I was talking with him, and he told me, this was actually a year ago, that Gene Segura and Robinson Cano were two of the worst teammates he had ever been with, which was one of the reasons why they got rid of both of those guys last year.
Well, and that just supports what I have heard, that Segura was not good in the locker room. And the fact that you've got good numbers – Cano was a great player. Segura's not a great player, but a good numbers when you look at numbers, but he's not a good guy. Hey, Will, I really appreciate your call. I've flown into Fort Myers because I've been to Naples. It's a great airport and it's a great area. And thanks for calling. Thanks, Will. All right, let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're on WIP.
He caught a nice week of weather, Chief.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, listen, this whole thing with baseball, excuse me, I'm under the weather a little bit, it's unbelievable this week how the Astros handled the whole thing.
It's a disgrace.
But on the analytics part, if you're, I'm having a hard time hearing you, I'm in Delaware, nothing's working right. If you're running a Major League Baseball team, we could agree that you want all the data you can possibly get, right? And you want to incorporate that data in your game planning. And I think that's where analytics plays such a major role.
No, and here's where I'm going to challenge you on this, Chuck. I'd like to use it as a guide. The Phillies have used it on how to play the game. And that's the problem. People get so caught up in all these geeks that give you all these numbers and, oh, really? You know, everybody's got a computer. Why don't you just put a computer, and you're not allowed, put a computer to manage in the dugout. You use that to tell you where the efficiency is, not on how to play the game. And they use it on how to play the game. Launch angle is a joke.
Right,
you didn't hear earlier. Well, did you hear what Christian Yelich's launch angle is?
Unfortunately,
you didn't listen. Let me just tell you. Okay, let me just tell you. I'll tell you. Christian Yelich is 250th in baseball with a 4.7 launch angle, yet he had 36 home runs last year and he didn't play 6 weeks. You can take launch angle and shove it up your rear end and back into your computer.
Can I respond to some of that, Counselor?
Yeah.
Mike Schmidt, I don't know if you referred to Mike Schmidt on your show or not, but Mike Schmidt is the best example alive of somebody who actually hit down on the ball. My apologies, this is rhetorical by now.
I mentioned it to Jordy.
I mean, it's the point of contact, and players should be coached that a downward trajectory is fine. It's where you're going to strike the baseball with a round bat. So, you know, now Hoskins was saying, whether a tweet or I read somewhere, that he did not adjust his launch angle last year, but statistically, he went from an 18 launch to a 25 launch, which is pretty drastic, and he had a bad year. So, I mean, he's got to be aware of his own statistics, right?
I would think he's given that information. The player that I really have an issue with, and I think he's a really good player, Scott Kingery, for him to strike out 150 times is a joke. He's too good to do that.
Right.
But he practices that uppercut swing because he wants
uppercut,
to hit home runs.
Killed him.
Yep.
Howard, there's no pushback on that. You're absolutely 100% right on it. It's how you balance the use of data that ends up in being the best use of analytics.
Chuck, you know I'm right most of the time.
Hey, Ben, you have your day, no doubt about it. Well, listen, I sound like crap. I'm going to get out of here. Nice all talking right. to you. I'm glad you had a good week down there, buddy.
All right, have a great weekend. All right, let's go to Kathleen. Kathleen, you're on WIP.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
How are you?
Good. You're Italian, right, with a name like Kathleen?
No, 100% Irish.
No, I was kidding.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Joel Embiid.
Yes.
They said he was going to be the next Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, Jimmy Lynam said that. Jimmy Lynam must have been either had bumped his head or on drugs when he said that.
And their personalities. I mean, Wilt was such a hard worker. All he cared about was being the best. This guy doesn't care. You know, I was a phone buddy with Wilt. And like I said, the only thing they have in common, they were both 7'2". That's it. About 30 years ago, he used to call me up because he liked my jokes, and he'd call once a week for a good joke. None of them will get on the air, but anyway, he said, I have to call you to tell you this. It had to be 30 years ago. He said, I'm in the gym, and there's a guy in the gym on a cell phone. Can you believe that? A cell phone. He said, I don't even have caller ID on my phone. And he said, what is so important that you're in the gym and you're on the phone? Could you imagine if he was alive now?
Yeah, well, that happens all the time. The world's different. But I'm a little annoyed at the fans the other night that cheered him.
I would be too, yes.
Yeah, I mean, make him feel like you're pissed. You're angry. You're not going to just have him run you around like he's the Pied Piper. It's a joke.
I know, it is a joke. And yes. When he feels like playing, he'll play.
Yep, that's exactly right. I'm looking forward to see what his first game's like after partying in the All-Star
weekend.
Oh,
right, yeah, right. He probably won't.
They don't play until Thursday, so he won't get in. She won't be in shape, but whatever. Hey, Kathleen.
I mean, he's not in shape now.
Kathleen, I appreciate your call. I got to run, though, but thanks for your call. Have a great day. 94, WIP. You know what, Kyle? Before we go, and I might bail out of it, get up, Gabe Kapler. I got to get my day continuing on a good start with a little Gabe Kapler BS.
I got another one if you want it.
No, just play the one. We're going to start with the one. Play the one from that we played earlier. Just give me a little Gabe Kapler because he's going to exhaust everything. The players are going to be exhausted with their effort. Go ahead. All right, I've had it. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough of a fill. High energy, enthusiasm, every inch on the bases. Yeah, Hernandez and Segura did that for you last year, Gabe. Come on, Gabe. Gabe's a nice guy, but he's got to stop with all this. Oh, my gosh, it's enough already. All right, Ed Pendino here in Clearwater, as he does for me every year. Fine, fine effort keeping things together here. Back at the studio, Kyle scrambling with all that stuff that we had to do today. Good job back there. Glenn and Ray, I assume, are next in a cold Philadelphia. Philly's out there again today. I'm going to go watch some of the workout, see if there's anything new here today. And if so, I will tweet it. And one of the best things to come out of the show today, and if you didn't hear it, I'll post the podcast on Twitter and Facebook shortly. Joe Girardi does not put Cheese Whiz on his cheese steaks because Cheese Whiz is a South Philly scam. It's a joke. Good job by Joe Girardi. WIP Sports Time is now 9:57.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.